الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد، قل ربي أعلم من جاء بالهدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين. وما كنت ترجو أن يلقى إليك الكتاب إلا رحمة من ربك فلا تكونن ظهيرا للكافرين. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, one day someone praised Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he said few things at this occasion and at this juncture, which I often relate to, and perhaps it is something that we should reflect over. He said, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi, wa ana a'lamu bi nafsi minhum. Allahumma ij'alni khayran mimma yahsabun, waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. Allah, you know me better than I know myself, better than they know me. Allah, make me better than what they think of me, and don't punish me for the good intentions they have, which I have failed to do. Allahumma ij'alni khayran mimma yahsabun. Allah, make me better than what their good intentions and their hopes are and their aspirations are about me. Hence we say the similar sentiments to our honorable MC, that may Allah Ta'ala make us better than what people think about us, and may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability that we reflect, as we heard in the previous nas that were presented in the nasheed as well, that, oh Allah, forgive our sins. The poet says, in dhunubi azumat kathira, oh Allah, if my sins have exceeded, which is a reality, then undoubtedly your forgiveness is more encompassing. In kana la yarjuka illa muhsinun faman lil mujrim. If only the pious can have hope in you, Allah, then where do the evil sinners turn? Friends and elders, there isn't a shred of doubt in the heart and the mind of any Muslim, be he religious or irreligious, male or female, that the Ummah is currently going through severe strain. Every person understands that this is not the golden era of this Ummah, this is not the glory of this Ummah, this is not the period of prosperity for this Ummah. So there is consensus over the fact that we are facing a crisis. However, the irony of this problem is that we are terribly divided on the way forward. Everybody has understood we are facing a crisis, but we are terribly divided over the way forward and the solution. And it is as a result of our division in the solution that we do not complement the activities of others, but we contradict it simply because we feel that is not the solution. Each man is obsessed, and what I am doing is the way forward. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Allah says every group is obsessed in this current crisis and in this dark hour upon the ummah, as the night tolls upon the ummah, and as the strain intensifies upon the ummah. Every person is convinced that what I am doing is the correct way. Speak to any man, and each person will pour his heart out and tell you, this is what we need to do. Some will come from an Islamic perspective, some from a political angle. But the reality of the matter is, as the Quran says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. There are many people who argue regarding deen without logic or divine knowledge. There are many people who want to put forth an argument that the Muslim Ummah should be doing this year, but they lack logic as well as divine knowledge. Let me take you to a scholar, perhaps you heard his name. If not, let me share briefly with you. None other than Shaykh al-Hind, rahimahum Allah, nawwar Allahu marqadahu, Allah fill his grave with nur, who was just not a man, or was just not a profound scholar of his time, but was also a very great political figure. Hence he had the best of both. He had a great struggle in the politics, and he was a very, very great scholar among the very first students who graduated from Darul Ulum Dioban. And it was in his very struggle against politics that he was imprisoned. And for 3 years he was kept as captive and he was a prisoner. And after his release, amongst the first congregations that he addressed was a congregation of ulama. And he says, during my period of captivity, I gave great thought over the pitiful condition of this ummah. I reflected at length over the tragedy of this ummah. A man who was sound in his knowledge, who was well clued up in politics, who says, in 3 years of introspection, I reflected at great length, and I have safely arrived at 2 conclusions. This is the reason why the ummah is going through such stress. The first is, we have neglected this Quran. And the second is, our internal bickering and dissension, which is the result of the first. He further said, this ummah that could have become billion strong in number, unfortunately has fragmented in billion segments. This is the reason, if we study the crisis that is staring at the Muslim ummah. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu used to say, لَوْ أَنَّ قُلُوبَنَا طَهُرَتْ مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. If our hearts were cleansed truly from the pollution of this world, we would have never tired reading the book of Allah nor listening to the book of Allah. And we make dua to Allah at this juncture that Allah must cleanse our hearts. Allah must purify our heart. Imagine, Hazrat Tufayl ibn Amr Dawsi radiyallahu anhu says, I came to Makkah. People poisoned me against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that I said, even unintentionally, I mustn't hear the Quran. People told me, he's such an evil man that don't come close to him, you will be influenced, he will hypnotize you, he will cast a spell on you, to such an extent, hatta hashawtu fi udhuni qutna. I stuffed cotton wool in my ears and I said, perchance, even if I walk past him, the Quran mustn't influence me. He said, but Allah's divine kindness upon me, Allah's sheer mercy, as I walk past that alley where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reciting Quran, which in Bukhari Sharif first volume, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu paints the picture and he says, وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ إِذَا انشق مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ يبيت يجافي جنبه عن فراشه إذا استثقلت بالمشركين المضاجع. He says, oh people, how can I possibly condense in words our good fortune? Let me tell it to you in a nutshell. We, that is the Sahaba, enjoyed that gathering wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam resided. It was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the golden era of prophethood. It was the surroundings of the Kaaba, the galaxy of Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, and the early part of the morning, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting Quran. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا. Allah speaks about one of the salient qualities in a believer, that he separates from his bed. At that time when the bed becomes heavy for others, when they cling to their bed, these people separate from their beds and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the 2 tragedies of this ummah. The first is, we have neglected the Quran, and the second is our internal dissension and our division. Let us reflect for a period of time over both these factors and see how this has crippled the strength of this ummah. When we look into the life of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, the hadith that I quoted you before you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي. Allah's help will be perpetual with this ummah as long as they mutually support and help one another. As long as there is mutual support for one another, Allah's help is definite with this ummah. In Musnad al-Hakim, there is one riwayat. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the Sahaba and there was a broad smile on his face. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu seized the opportunity and he said, Ya Rasulallah, mali araka dhahika. Well, Nabi of Allah, what is the reason? Broad smile, hatta, you know, his blessed teeth became exposed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رَجُلَانِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي جَثَيَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ. Umar, I'm actually visualizing a scene that is to happen on the day of Qiyamah, but it is so vivid before me as if it is prevailing now. What is this, O Nabi of Allah? Elaborate. رَجُلَانِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي جَثَيَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ. Two servants of Allah, followers of my ummah, will kneel before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. One will say, Ya Rabbi, khudli mazlimati min akhi. Oh Allah, my brother oppressed me in this world, and you promised that on the day of Qiyamah, justice will prevail. Each man will be given everything in due. No person will be deprived of anything, as the Quran says, وَلَا يُذْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. They will not be oppressed in the least. So Allah will intercede on behalf of this person and Allah will say, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِأَخِيكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْءٍ. Listen, why you are correct in what you say, that this is the day that justice will prevail and you are entitled to lodge the complaint against your brother. But look at him, he doesn't have much credit to his account. He doesn't have much good deeds. You don't want to excuse him and overlook the wrong that was done to you. So he will say, Oh Allah, يَوْمَنْ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا يَوْمَنْ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَوْ عَلِمْتَ بِهَوْلِهِ لَفَرَرْتَ مِنْ أَهْلٍ وَمِنْ أَوْطَانِي يَوْمٌ تَشَقَّقَتِ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ. Imagine that day when Allah says the youth will instantly age. He will say, Allah, I am very desperate. I respect your sentiments that you've interceded. But my desperation doesn't allow me to pity any soul but myself. فَلْيَحْمِلْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِ. Allah, if he cannot give me credit, then there's one way out. He must lighten the burden of sins that I'm carrying. وَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْبُكَى ثُمَّ قَالْ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَيَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ يَحْتَاجُ النَّاسُ أَن يُحْمَلَ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam barely said this and he became emotional. He started crying and he started sobbing. He said, this indeed will be the pinnacle of desperation. We've seen people desperate for finance. We've people seen desperate to be released from a prison. We've seen youngsters desperate to get married. People desperate for different things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed this will be the pinnacle of desperation. Then Allah Ta'ala will tell this person, okay, do me a favor, leave your brother, look in that direction. Glance there. So as he will glance, Allah will ask him, what can you see? He will answer, أَرَى مَدَائِنَ مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَقُصُورًا مِنْ ذَهَبْ مُكَلَّلَةً بِاللُّؤْلُؤْ لِأَيِّ نَبِيٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ صِدِّيقٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ شَهِيدٍ هَذَا. Allah, I can see palaces of gold. Allah, I can see rivers of Jannat. Allah, I can see the streams of Jannat. Allah, I can see the gardens. For which prophet have you designed this, Allah? For which martyr is this designated? For which pious and truthful person have you kept this exclusively, O Allah? Allah will say, no, it is not exclusive to any learned, any pious, any martyr. لِمَنْ أَعْطَى الثَّمَنِ. The man who pays the price, the palace is his. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ ذَلِكَ. Allah, who has the price to purchase your palace? You go and try and purchase a palace at the side of any the beach is Allah's. The water is Allah's. But you look at the economic, how they exploit. You go and, same thing here, you maybe buy here in a local area and then get a nice cottage at the side of a beach and then you see what you're paying. And this is that palace of Allah. What the Hadith Qudsi says, three things Allah did with his own hands. خَلَقَ آدَم بِيَدِهِ. Allah created Adam with his hand. كَتَبَ التَّوْرَاةَ بِيَدِهِ. Allah wrote the Torah with his own hand, which is the mutashabihat. And Allah made Jannatul Firdaus with his own hands. شَقَّ فِيهَا أَنْهَارَهَا غَرَسَ فِيهَا أَشْجَارَهَا. When is you and I take pride in designing our house and in our gardening, this is Allah says, I created Jannatul Firdaus. Whoever pays the price, this palace is his. So this man will ask Allah, you tell me what is the price. Allah will say, بِعَفْوِكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ. You forgive your brother and I promise you that palace is yours. He says, Allah, is this definite? He says, yeah, Allah will say, definitely. He says, okay, Allah, I make you my witness. I have forgiven my brother. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam at this juncture tears and he says, then Allah will tell him, now you take your brother and both of you go and enjoy that Jannah. Nabi alayhi salam then said, اتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم فإن الله يصلح بين المسلمين. Fear Allah and make reconciling common among you. Believe me, this is such an action, even Allah will do it on the day of Qiyamah. Brothers, at this juncture, I ask every person, every one of us are living in a time today, you know, we can say that this is the crisis, and we can sit and condemn the so-called leaders of the Muslim world. Allah give hidayah to one and all. But let's look deep down into our own hearts. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu routinely used to deliver a lecture on Thursday night. One Thursday he was delivering a lecture when one person entered the gathering. He said, listen, any person who has severed ties with his relation, please will he leave the gathering. This man stood up and he went away. And this was the beauty of Sahaba. They would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say, O Sini wa Aujis. O Nabi of Allah, advise, but do me a favor, make it short. To you and I, it sounds like an insult. You're asking for advice, yet you're saying, be brief. But the object behind it, let it be that much that I absorb it and fully implement it. Let me absorb it and fully implement it. So he stood up, he went. He had an aunt on the outskirts of the city of Medina, with whom he was not on talking terms. He came, knocked on the door, his aunt opened, astonished, perplexed. What is the matter, my nephew? He says, aunt, I've come to apologize. Please forgive me for the wrong and the sour relation and the bickering we had. She was very happy to receive her nephew. She welcomes him, embraces him. But she says, tell me, what is the sudden reason? So he explained that I attended the gathering of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And today, very strange, as I entered, these were his opening comments. So the aunt said, I have forgiven you, but do me a favor, when you get back to Abu Huraira, ask him, why, what was the wisdom of announcing this today? As he comes back, he enters into the gathering of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu welcomes him, asks him what happened, where you went. He narrates the entire incident, and then he poses the question that what was the wisdom behind this here? He says, I recall the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, in many gatherings of his, تُعْرَضُ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَيَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ. That Thursday night, as was the routine on which he would deliver his lectures, the actions of this ummah are presented in the court of Allah. And Allah, out of His sheer mercy and kindness and clemency, overlooks, forgives and pardons. However, when two such servants present before Allah, between whom there is some sour relation, Allah says, shift them till they don't resolve their differences, I doubt I'll forgive them. So really, brothers, the time has come that this ummah unify. This ummah become united. And this is the opportunity that Allah has given us. After the battle of Badr, Safwan bin Umayyah and Umair bin Wahab were sitting in the haram. And they were discussing what had happened to the Muslims in the battle of Badr. Now we know what honor Allah gave to the Muslims in the battle of Badr. So Safwan bin Umayyah said, Wallahi ma fil aishi ba'dahum khayr. After our great leaders are gone, there's no more pleasure to live. So Umair ibn Wahab said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا دَيْنٌ عَلَيَّ وَعِيَالٌ عِنْدِي أَخْشَى عَلَيْهِمُ الضَّيْعَ لَرَكِبْتُ إِلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ حَتَّى أَقْتُلَهُ. Believe me, if I didn't have my family who are my dependents and I didn't have my debts to settle, I would have gone now cold-bloodedly and I would have assassinated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this juncture. Again, a point to reflect, this is a kafir in the state of kufr with an evil agenda. Yet the common qualities, what did he say? If it wasn't for my debts, I cannot move till I don't settle my debts. Imagine our condition. Today, unfortunately, we've camouflaged the whole thing. Whenever the body was brought, the Prophet ﷺ would ask, هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَفَائِنْ. Tell me, has he got debts? Yes. Has he left behind enough to settle it? Sahaba would say, yes. The Prophet ﷺ would perform the salah. A body was brought. Nabi alayhi salam asked, is there outstanding debts of this person? Someone said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, he's owing some money. هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَفَائِنْ. Has he left behind enough money to settle it? No, O Nabi of Allah, صَلُّوا عَلَىٰ صَاحِبِكُمْ. Do me a favor, somebody else take responsibility and perform his janazah salah. Again, food for thought for the wealthy of this ummah. If only you channel your wealth where Allah wants you, on every cent you'll come closer to Allah. Sayyidina Ali came forward, he said, O Nabi of Allah, I don't know the man, but don't deprive him of your namaz, whatever his debts are, I'll settle it. Your namaz, how can he be deprived? Nabi alayhi salam said, فَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَّتَّ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ. Ali, as you save the neck of your brother, may Allah save your neck from Jahannam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? In the initial stages, this was his condition. But as Allah opened up the doors of wealth, he said, مَنْ تَرَكَ دَيْنًا أَوْ ضِيَاعًا فَعَلَيَّ. من ترك دينا أو ضياعا فعليا. If any ummati dies leaving behind wealth, me being his Nabi, being the closest to him. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم. I am the closest to him, yet I don't want to claim a cent from the legacy he leaves behind. However, I want to give him the solace and consolation if he dies leaving behind debts and children. Tell him his father, his Nabi will father those children and his Nabi will settle those debts. This was in the famous khutbah of Nabi alayhi salam. Man taraka daynan, where is the wealthy of this ummah? One day I gave a talk in one place, Allah give jazai khair, I share these examples so that it motivates others. I spoke about this year, two brothers were in this gathering. One needed money and one Allah had given him a lot of wealth. They both in that gathering, you know, made dua to Allah that Allah, I need this wealth, you make arrangements. The other one heard the talk and in that gathering, he said, Ya Allah, I heard this year, you give me the ability to help. They came out of that gathering and it was after 2 days, Allah linked them up and this transaction happened and this man who borrowed the money was so happy that within 2 days, Allah gave him the opportunity to help someone financially. So he phones me up, he says, Maulana, just, you know, for the record, that program happened, myself, I attended it and someone else. And this brother in this gathering made this commitment and this is the fruits of it within 2 days after the program. So look at how conscious they were of settling their debts. He says, if it wasn't for me settling my debts, the fear that I have this outstanding money, then I would have gone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man mata wa huwa bari'un min al-kibri wal-ghulul wad-dayn dakhala al-jannah." The riwayat of Tirmidhi. The one who dies free of pride, of deceit and debts, he goes straight to Jannah. I was one day contemplating over this hadith and Allah put a thought in my mind. How sad we are dying guilty of all three sins. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The one who dies free of all three sins. What is this? Pride. Ghulul is betraying in the battle. وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will stand up on the day of Qiyamah and let him not supplicate me and say, oh Muhammad, when you have betrayed and you have deceived. One person passed away. People made a general comment that he is in Jannat. Nabi alayhi salam says, no, fi burdatin ghallaha. He took one sheet that was not allotted to him. I am afraid that snatching, which was not allotted to him, will jeopardize his entry into Jannah. Fi burdatin ghallaha. The one who dies free of these and debts, then he will go straight to Jannah. Allah forgive, we dying guilty of all three. We are dying guilty of all these three crimes. What did Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu say? إِنَّكُمْ أُبْتُلِيتُمْ بِفِتْنَةِ الضَّرَّى فَصَبَرْتُمْ وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ السَّرَّى أَلَا وَهِيَ النِّسَى إِذَا تَحَلَّيْنَ بِالذَّهَبِ وَلَبِسْنَ رِيطَ الشَّامِ وَعَصْبَ الْيَمَنِ فَأَتْعَبْنَا الْغَنِي وَكَلَّفْنَا الْفَقِيرَ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ. You've seen the era of difficulty you endured, but I'm afraid the era of prosperity comes your way. And that is woman who will insist on the silk and the fine garments of Sham, and will insist on wearing the most exclusive clothing, who will tire the wealthy and burden the poor. So anyway, when Umair ibn Wahab said this, Safwan said, "Iyaluka ma'a iyali, wa daynuka alayya." If these are the only two hindrance and deterrence that you have to kill Muhammad, then trust me, I'll take your family as my family, and I will take your debts as my debts, but go and kill Muhammad and bring peace to Arabia. Again, look at these people, the mutual support to one another for wrong endeavors. Today we cannot stand and financially support in matters of good, in matters of khair. And what does the Quran say? وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. What a picture Allah says. Allah says, if your eyes tragically closes now, what would be the aspirations in your heart? And what would be your expectations from your brothers regarding your children? If you close your eyes tragically, Allah save us all from that and let us see our children grow and mature and marry. But Allah forbid if that happens, that your eyes closes, what aspirations and ambitions will your heart contain regarding the well-being of your children, your wife? What would be your vision that if my brother can just come close here, take this business up, take care of my little siblings that are growing up, just become a fatherly figure here? What Allah says, that should be the same desire if your brother dies. وليخشى الذين لو تركوا من خلفهم ذرية ضعافا خافوا عليهم فليتقوا الله وليقولوا قولا سديدا إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا. The riwayat of Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defines the beauty of a Muslim home and he equally condemns a certain home. The beauty of a Muslim home is not dependent on its furniture, my sister. It's not dependent if your blinds and your tiles match. خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ. There cannot possibly be a better Muslim home in the entire world, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, other than that home in which daily one orphan eats. وَشَرُّ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُسَاهُ إِلَيْهِ. And there cannot be a more evil house on the planet earth than that house in which there is one orphan which has been ill-treated. As long as the Prophet ﷺ was alive, he himself fathered those orphans. The riwayat in Al-Isaba fi Tamiz al-Sahaba, Bashir ibn Aqraba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Sahaba went out and with him his father, Bashir radiyallahu anhu's father joined Nabi alayhi salam, his mother was late. And as was the routine, the Prophet ﷺ would return, he would halt outside Medina, لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِتَ الشَّعْرِثَةِ وَتَسْتَحِدَّ الْمَغِيبَةِ, so that the woman at home can prepare and receive her husband adequately. And the Prophet ﷺ disliked making a sudden presence. It was customary amongst the children to go on the outskirts, receive the caravan and come back with their parents and their uncles. We would perhaps go to the airport to receive. But what a sore sight to the eyes of Bashir radiallahu anhu. Bashir radiallahu anhu says, as the children went, I also joined. Some located their father and they ran. Some located their brothers and they ran. I looked around in the crowd. I couldn't get sight of my father. I moved around aimlessly to get hold of my father. But he was not to be seen. I then approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I came to him and I tapped him and I said, Ya Rasulallah, ماذا فعل أبي? I'm a little child. What I knew? I said, O Nabi of Allah, where is my father? Where is my Abba? It was too emotional. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started tearing and he turned his face away. Bashir radiallahu anhu says, I came from the other angle and I said, Ya Rasulallah, ماذا فعل أبي? O Nabi of Allah, where is my father? فَاسْتَعْبَرَ وَبَكَى. And the tears like pearls just started flowing uncontrollably. Bashir radiallahu anhu says, I got the message, my mother was gone, even my father is now gone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held me and he said, أَوَمَا تَرْضَى يَا بَشِيرٌ أَن يَكُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَبَاكُ وَعَيْشَةُ أُمُّكُ. Bashir, are you not happy from today? Muhammad is your father and Aisha is your mother. Wallah, my brothers traveled the world. Early this year I went to Indonesia. Allah's qasam, there are thousands of Bashirs that are lying there. I had the opportunity while we were in Indonesia in one place, I had to address the congregation. A very painful sight for me and it will live with me for the rest of my life. As we gathered in this masjid, when I say a masjid very close to where the tsunami happened, I was en route to Australia and I just stopped there for a period of time. We got to this masjid, it was rather hot, I was tired, had a bit of delay in the flight. When we arrived there in conjunction with the Al-Imdad Foundation that were distributing some hampers, so if I may describe this to you, a family, a united family, little small tents around the masjid. You know, if I travel in my emotions, I will only burst down in tears. There was a curtain at the back where the sisters were sitting. And in front was a common sight of children without parents and parents without children. Children, you look at them, it's enough to make you cry. Nothing more. And I was told to give a talk. Wallah, the most painful moments in my life, if I've ever spoken, was that day. When I'm speaking to orphans, there's no material future. There's no home. There's no family. There's absolutely nothing. The child is sitting there and I spoke about this incident of Bashir radiallahu anhu. There was a translator, obviously. I had to be very basic because there was a barrier in, you know, communication. And after the talk was over, and I just seen the elderly people crying, the children crying, but it was like one close-knit family. And then one person would stand up, call the name of a child, of an orphan. He would then mention to you, and when I say a child, I mean literally 5 years old. Then the person calling out the name will say, this child apparently has lost mother, father, brother and sister. And then you see this little child coming forward, not to take a gift or an award like we are used to. In a gathering or in a jalsa, a child comes forward and all gaze is on him and everybody is looking at the father and someone is congratulating the mother. No, no, this is a child. His mother is late, his father is late, his brother is late. The child knows you not, you know not the child. Wallah, those children were so small, they could not carry the hampers. They could not carry those hampers. And I sat there and I cried in my heart. And I said, I wish my children were here to only think and reflect and appreciate what Allah has given us. Brothers, wallah, they are thousands. Go to Iraq and you see hundreds of Bashirs lying there. Hundreds of Bashirs in which parts of the world? Wallah, this ummah is taking strain. This ummah is taking strain. The land of Iraq is still drinking the blood of our children. The land of Palestine is still drinking the blood of our sisters. Has the time not come for us to awaken from our slumber? أَوَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, has the time not yet come for your heart now to be only for Allah? أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Allah says, did I not give you enough life that if you wanted to know who I was, you would have fully comprehended it? Coming back to our incident. What happened? Safwan bin Umayyah tells Umar ibn Wahab that I will settle if you go. Umar ibn Wahab comes to Medina Munawwara. Sahaba was sitting and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi. As he seen Safwan coming, Umar ibn Wahab coming, he had the vision. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a unique man. He said, Wallahi ma ja'a illa li sharrin. I swear by Allah, this man has an evil motive. Ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, the riwayat of Tirmidhi. The vision of a believer. Anakha rahilatahu ala bab al-masjid. He comes and he puts his camel outside the masjid. Sayyidina Umar grabs him and vigorously brings him and drops him in the presence of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam says, Da'hu ya Umar. Umar, leave him. Udnu minni ya Umar. Umar, come close. Then he greets Nabi alayhi salam as was customary among them. Nabi alayhi salam says, Inna Allah akramana bi taqiyya. هي خيرا من تحيتك وهي تحية أهل الجنة. Allah has honored us with a better greeting, and that is the greeting of the people of Jannah, and that is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu comes to the house of Nabi alayhi salam. He knocks on the door. He says Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asks Assalamu alaikum. Who is it? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to the house of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu and he greets Assalamu alaikum. So Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu answers very softly, wa alaykum as-salam. The Prophet says again, as-salamu alaykum. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the ahkam of isti'dhan in the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala amliha. Dhalikum khayrun lakum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. Just to mention something here, furthermore Allah speaks about one etiquette. When there was unity in the hearts, and the hearts were clean, Allah Ta'ala says that if you go and knock the door of someone and it is an inappropriate time and he tells you that please go back my brother, this is not a good time, I'm busy with my family, don't feel offended, this will clean your heart even more. Huwa azka lakum. One person says, lifelong I knock the doors of people hoping that someone returns me so that my heart can be purified. In the tafsir this is written. He says, lifelong I knocked hoping that someone tells me irji'u, because the Quran says huwa azka. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells him about the greetings. So he greets for the third time. Nabi alayhi salam says, Assalamu alaikum. He says, Wa alaikum salam, softly. Then there's no answer. He opens the door. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasalam said, Ubadah, I greeted first time. There was no answer. Second time, no answer. He said, O Nabi of Allah, if I had to answer this first time, you wouldn't have greeted for the second time. And I wanted more of your salam. This is written in Ma'rif al-Quran. I needed more of your salam. So I said, let it go more. Let it go more till the last. When I was convinced that you're over now, why? Because he understood what was salam means. Salam means, anta salimun minni. Rest assured, you don't have to fear anything. My heart is clean. My brother, you are welcome. Nabi alayhi salam teaches him the salam. And look at the ahadith. The riwayat of Bukhari, وَتَقْرَئِ السَّلَامَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. Greet those that you know and those that you don't know. We go out of our way to greet those that we know. And when strangers greet us, we wonder if they're greeting us or someone else. Oh, wa alaikum salam. Why is he greeting me? He's a believer and I'm a believer. I was once in Canada, in Toronto, and I was catching a flight to a place called Regina, that's in Saskatchewan. And subhanAllah, one brother left me thinking for the rest of my life. There was a brother from Toronto, he told me he wants to join me for the program. It was about a 4-hour flight. So I told him, you know what, I'll be okay. But you want to come, you're welcome. I got no problem, but a last minute booking is going to cost you so much more. He says, no, Sheikh, I want to join you. I said, Alhamdulillah, company in the plane is always better. Anyway, the ticket was $500, but he came the last minute booking, they told him $2,000. I told him, no, obviously, as much as I want your company, I don't want to waste your money. So we seen one brother there, mashallah, Muslim brother, who was working there. We went to him, we said, you know what, is there any procedure of waiving a late booking? I mean, obviously, we don't want to take any person out with dignity and respect. We don't want to offend or infringe on any laws. As Muslims, we ought to live as dignified citizens. Mufti Taqi Uthmani has written that if a person violates the red signal, that this is just not an offense to the state, but it is an offense to your faith also. He says, rest assured, you have disobeyed Allah in doing that as well. And then he has given dalil because we are morally obligated and compelled to respect all the laws of our country that do not infringe on our Islamic values and principles. That is the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, he said, no problem, you perform Asr Salah. After performing Asr Salah, he came with both the tickets, he arranged seating next to us, and he gave it to us, and he went away. He didn't ask for an acknowledgement. He didn't ask, you know, that look at what I done. He did it and he went away. And for the rest of that flight, and I guess for the rest of my life, this man taught me that he did this amal and went away, but he empowered and enriched the life of one person. And I said, this is the spirit of a believer wherever he is. This is the spirit of a believer that when he can make life easy for someone, why not? Allah forgive, we are those that never mind making it easy, deliberately we make it difficult for others. Sayyidina Yusuf, alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat. When his brothers walked in, and the entire picture of what the brothers had did to him flashed before him. But what did he say? How broad is the bosom of a Nabi? How vast is the chest of a Nabi? What is the taqwa of a Nabi? وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ جَعْلُوا بِطَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَنْ قَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Listen, whatever happens, these youngsters that have walked in, it was drought, people had to pay for the corn and grain. He called his servants, he says, you don't take money from these people. This is my blood, how can I milk them in their desperation? How can I milk my blood, my own brothers, forgetting not what those brothers did to him? Today you want to make a quick buck out of our parents. Materialism. One brother told me this morning, he says, I'm sending someone to you, please, you know, sort out the alarm and then you will see me right. So I said, no problem. Anyway, the brother came, I started speaking, I said, so and so, you know, he said, yeah, he's my son. I said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. The man that referred me, said, so and so is coming. He doesn't tell me it's his father, making money out of his own father. Where materialism has taken us, blinded us totally. This is the tragedy of our technologic advancement. That in the process of us advancing technologically, the legacy and the morals we are losing, this is the price we are paying. One American psychologist made a beautiful observation. He said, America's glories and evils are tightly fused together. While the statements of liberating women brought economic growth, it broke up the fabric of society. Marriages were broken, children were neglected. This is, and then he goes on to say, we are a nation who are blessed and burdened by our values. We are a nation who are blessed and burdened by our values. This is the tragedy of our progress. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salam speaks to Umair, asks him, what made you? I haven't yet started, brothers. This time is fair, inshallah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, Umair, what made you come? He says, no, my son has been captured by the Muslims. So I've come for the release of my son. Nabi alayhi salam said, فَمَا بَالُ السَّيْفِ فِي عُنُقِقِ. If you've come for the release of your son, then why are you carrying a sword? He said, no, when did the sword, help us in Badr that is going to help me today? Did the sword help us in Badr that is going to help us today? Nabi alayhi salam said, Umair, are you speaking the truth? He said, of course. Nabi alayhi salam said, Umair, listen, you and Safwan were sitting in the haram. And then you said, there's no more pleasure after Abu Jahl. And then you said, if it wasn't for your debts, you would have killed me. And Safwan said, he'll settle your debts and look after your family. You've come with the intention to kill me. He stood up and he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ هَذَا أَمْرٌ لَمْ يَحْضُرْهُ إِلَّا أَنَا وَصَفْوَانَ. Listen, I bring iman on that man. If this is what you can tell me, And this is how you have translated the emotions of my heart and painted the reality of my mission. Then rest assured there is a third being, and I bring iman on that being. I bring iman on that being immediately. Another thing I was speaking about just yesterday, I mentioned to some people that there is a chapter in the books of hadith that speaks about maghibat. That speaks about all the prophecies of Nabi alayhi salam. They talk of this Nostradamus and all other predictions. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made divine prophecies, and this was obviously aided by Allah Ta'ala. And we learn from Sahaba, whenever they seen any prophecy materializing, then if the Prophet was present, they would come back to him and they would, as a mark of joy, revive the iman. And they say, La ilaha illallah, O Nabi of Allah, once again Allah has showed us you are the prophets. Once again Allah has showed us the famous incident of Hunayn, where the Prophet pointed to a man and he said he's going to be in Jahannam. And فَكَادَ بَعْضُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَن يَرْتَاب. There was a bit of, pause and silence, because that man was fighting very fiercely on the side of the Muslims. The Prophet says, I will not repeat, that man is destined for hell. Sahaba says, they were pin drop silence. One Sahabi said, I need to follow this man, his outcome is going to be evil. Apparent condition shows his bias, and yet the prophecy of Nabi alayhi salam is Jahannam. So I followed him. Kullama waqafa waqaftu, the riwayat of Muslim. Every time he paused, I paused. Every time he advanced, I advanced. And he killed a lot of kuffar. People even said, ma ajza minna al-yawm. None has been so brave today like so and so. And then a stray arrow came and hit him. And when it hit him, the pain became unbearable. So in the midst of the battle, he took out a spear and he committed suicide. The Sahabi came running to Nabi alayhi salam and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. You are the Nabi of Allah. Few minutes ago, I couldn't fathom the wisdom of what you said. And it was minutes later, Allah painted it as you predicted it.